Major volatility in the stock market is giving us a bit of deja vu.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From APM, American Public Media in Los Angeles. Good morning. I'm Steve Chiatakis. Stock markets today are still reacting to Standard & Poor's U.S. debt downgrade and the European debt crisis, both of which caused markets to tumble yesterday, an all-too-recent reminder of another time when the global economy was in crisis, 2008, just 3 years ago. But one commentator thinks there are many differences between that financial meltdown and today. Francesco Guerrera is editor of Money and Investing for The Wall Street Journal. He's with us live from New York this morning. Morning, Francesco.
Good morning.
Thank you so much for being here. We've certainly seen a lot of comparisons over the past few days to what happened in 2008. What's the difference now?
The biggest difference really is how the two crises came about. The first crisis, the 2008 crisis, was a bottom-up crisis. It started with people borrowing too much on the mortgage, then went through the crazy securitization machine of Wall Street and ended up with financial markets roiled, the government coming to the rescue. This time, you could argue, actually, the government caused the crisis because they weren't able to get a fiscal housing order, nor were they able to convince the markets that they could get a grip on economic growth. And that's where you're seeing the markets so volatile.
So sort of top-down, right?
Absolutely. Yeah. Top-down versus bottom-up.
The roles that the various players take on are different, too, right? Like, you know, I'm thinking the big banks and the government?
The big difference is that Wall Street and the big banks were really the main perpetrators of the previous crisis and ended up having to be bailed out by the government. This time, with the governments in the thick of the crisis, it's very difficult to see who's going to come to the rescue of the financial systems because the governments can't just do that.
Either way, Francesco, it seems like the result is, you know, high unemployment, prolonged unemployment, consumers who aren't spending money, all those things that we saw just a few years back during the recession in 2008. Are we going to see that again?
The results are very similar, right? So in 2008, taxpayers got stung with a bill of about $1 trillion to save everybody else. And this time, they are still paying for it, but in the form of high unemployment, sluggish growth, unfunded pensions. So it's the normal people that end up paying for this.
And who also helped pay for it in 2008?
Absolutely. So they unfortunately, are the victims of both crises.
Francesco Guerrera, editor of Money and Investing for the Wall Street Journal. Francesco, thanks.
Thank you.
While we wait for U.S. lawmakers to solve the debt problems here at home, the world's eyes are turning to other major economic players to help avert another financial crisis, like central banks, such as the Federal Reserve Bank of the United States, which by chance is meeting today. Marketplace's Jeff Horwich explains.
The Fed's Open Market Committee last met in June. Things weren't exactly swell, but Chairman Ben Bernanke struck a classic, cautiously optimistic tone.
The economic recovery appears to be proceeding at a moderate pace, though somewhat more slowly than the committee had expected. We expect the unemployment rate to continue to decline.
This time, it'll take a lot more than cautious optimism to lift our spirits. Karen Petru of Federal Financial Analytics says the S&P downgrade has messed with our heads for 3 days now. The Fed needs to administer a big old dose of it's not so bad.
This was the equivalent of S&P shouting fire in a crowded theater, and the Fed has got to figure out a way to calm people down. That's not its strong suit. It's never been good at doing that before.
The Fed's usual policy tools can't do much with interest rates already near zero. One significant thing the Fed could do is a third round of quantitative easing, where it buys bonds to pump money into the U.S. economy. But analysts say not to expect any major moves like that this afternoon. I'm Jeff Horwich for Marketplace.
Let's do the numbers. Markets are higher right now. The Dow is up about 1.5%, 174 points, 10,984. The NASDAQ is up 3%. The S&P 500 up about 2.5%. Gold is up today, still at about $1,737 an ounce. And oil is trading right now higher as well at $82 a barrel. The Labor Department said today productivity fell in the latest quarter by a fraction of a percent. And it's the first back-to-back drop in productivity since the financial crisis of 2008.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Chevrolet, maker of the new Volt, which plugs in anywhere and goes everywhere. Available in select markets. Details at ChevyVolt.com. And by LendingTree, providing up to 4 loan offers from a network of lenders. Learn more at LendingTree.com or 1-800-555-8733. Healthcare coverage is supported in part by the California Endowment, a health foundation dedicated to expanding access to health care for all Californians.
The White House is set to announce soon new fuel economy standards for the biggest vehicles out there. We're talking about big SUVs all the way up to 18-wheeler big rigs. From the Marketplace Sustainability Desk, Eve Tro reports.
While regular cars have had to get more fuel efficient, trucks haven't had to change.
Trucks today are some of the biggest fuel hogs on the highway. They average about 6.5 miles per gallon.
That's Donna Nair at the Union of Concerned Scientists. 3 years from now, every new big rig will have to use 20% less fuel. Nair says there's been barely any backlash.
Truckers are going to have more fuel-efficient options, and they're going to save a lot of money at the pump.
But Bill Visnick at Edmunds.com suspects another reason behind the lack of public outcry.
It's something that just everyone assumed was already there.
Turns out the U.S. has never had mileage targets for big trucks. No other country does, except Japan. The new rules cover other big vehicles, garbage trucks, school buses, delivery vans, heavy-duty pickups. Daniel Sperling wrote the book 2 Billion Cars.
Governments or companies that really run their trucks a lot, they're going to be very happy to buy the new ones.
He says fuel-efficient trucks will cost more, but they'll make up that cost in fuel savings in just a few years, much faster than regular cars. I'm Eve Tro for Marketplace.
And finally, a group of Belgian scientists says fatty comfort foods help people feel better. And doctors played sad music and showed pictures of sad people to a group of volunteers and fed half of those folks high-fat foods and the other half a placebo. Well, the people who ate the fatty foods stayed cheerful. Researchers say it dates back all the way to the Stone Age, when fat was essential for survival. Survival, of course, is the mantra these days of the stock market. So given the latest happenings on Wall Street, I say, go ahead, eat those French fries. Top it off with a chocolate shake, too. It may make the world a happier place. I'm Steve Chiatakis in Los Angeles. We're online. Check the numbers throughout the day at marketplace.org, and you can get the podcast there as well. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. And this is APM, American Public Media.
Business news. It's not all banks, budgets, and bottom lines, you know. At Marketplace, we think it can be lots of things, like...
So maybe you've heard of the Kardashians.
iPhone and iPad app.
Christian Dior.
Wine.
We Fit.
Amazon and Barnes & Noble.
The NFL.
I'm Kai Rizdahl. Whether you need news or the numbers or just a good laugh, join us next time for Marketplace, the business show for the rest of us. It's from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like...
What is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.